Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
A lot happening in April because of the transfer portal for both Illinois basketball and Illinois football. So let's chat about it. Let's go portaling. I'm Jeremy Warner, Illini Inquirer publisher. He is Joey Wagner, Illini Inquirer as well. And we got a lot to talk about. Spring football, we got some things we want to update you on about what we're hearing, a little bit about what we're seeing, I guess. And then we can talk about the new transfer edition for Illinois football, Rashawn Wilkins, as well as Illinois basketball and everything happening in the portal there. And that's what everyone wants to focus on, Joey, is Illinois basketball and everything going on in the transfer portal there. So let's talk about Brandon Murray goes to Georgetown. Not a huge surprise, given he's following former LSU assistant Kevin Nickelberry there. But obviously one of the top targets, if not the top target for Illinois, 6'5", 210, really long, really athletic. Pretty good shooter. They think he can get better as a shooter as well, but averaged 10 points a game as a freshman. Would have been a huge addition for Illinois to add somebody that's a proven scorer in a backcourt that has no proven scorers despite having a lot of young talent, and somebody that I think could have played on the court with Jaden Epps and Sky Clark, right, and all those guys kind of put together. So a tough miss for Illinois basketball, but not a surprise he's going to Georgetown.
Yeah, I think I would have probably been more surprised if it was Illinois. We know Chester Frazier had those connections with him. But Georgetown, I mean, look, I know what Georgetown's record was last year. They weren't very good, but that's
21 straight losses.
That's tough. That's tough stuff. But I think there is a, hey, fresh slate. We're still Georgetown basketball. You got the assistant coach close to home. Like, there is a sell there, I think, if you're a player. So now Illinois's got to pivot. And that feels like what every school has to do in the transfer portal once, twice, three times in an offseason is find a way to pivot, have a list, plan it out. There's still options. Terrence Shannon's out there. Courtney Ramey's out there. But they put some effort into getting Brandon Murray. They had him on campus over the weekend. I think there's another discussion to be had about the eval periods and with the transfer portal schedule changing. I think that you could make an argument to change the schedule if you're the NCAA, but that's a different point. So where do they go from here? What's the urgency? It's Tuesday after morning, I guess, Tuesday morning. We're talking to Brad tonight. So we'll ask him as much as we can, but just what's the urgency? What's the timeline here, and where do they go? And we know what they're looking for. We think we know what they're looking for in terms of a wing, maybe a veteran ball handler. But just how does this all shake out over the next few weeks?
Well, and that's it. There's, what, 18 days that people can enter the transfer portal and still be eligible for next year. So you can continue to see names going to the portal. And there are some interesting names that are even going in this morning that I think Illinois could look into. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But Brandon Murray was one of the top transfers in the portal. Maybe didn't, you know, most people didn't know his name before all of this started, if you're an Illinois fan and didn't watch a lot of LSU. But he's got the potential to be an NBA guy. He's got the potential to be a number one guy, and he's certainly going to be that at Georgetown. And I think that is the sell outside of Nickelberry is you're our guy, and you get to put up the numbers. You get to be the guy of our offense, and he's certainly going to do that at Georgetown. So even though Tennessee, Illinois are far more proven, right, I think from the start a lot of people thought Georgetown would be tough to beat because of that assistant connection, and now he gets to go be the guy there. So you mentioned a guy, Terrence Shannon, Chicago native, did great at Texas Tech, had some health issues at some times. Texas Tech has done a really good job of adding transfers themselves. So a proven 3-and-D guy. Now, can he be more than that? I'm not sure, but he's also one of the top transfers in the portal. Michigan has been involved there. A lot of schools across the country have been involved there. But it's been pretty quiet around Terrence Shannon. More of the guy who probably played the 3 at Illinois. which you wonder with RJ Melendez how that all would work out. But he's certainly a talent that makes a lot of sense for what they need, Joey. I'm just wondering if those two teams feel like the fit is there, even though there is a history here. You know, Illinois recruited Terrence Shannon really hard in high school after he went to IMG Academy, and he ended up going to DePaul first as a commit and then signing with Texas Tech. He's certainly on paper makes a lot of sense, but the health questions, the fit questions, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I think just quickly when you're looking at who they're after in the portal, you look for the connections, right? I mean, that's so much about all of this is who have they recruited in the past? And remember, this is a mostly fresh outside of Jeff Illinois coaching staff. So Chester has connections elsewhere. Tim has connections elsewhere. So that's what you want to look for. You want to look there. But with him, yeah, what is the fit? Because I think you and I, Jeremy, are of the belief that, like, this is RJ Melendez and Coleman Hawkins' time. Like this, and I think the coaching staff is on board with that too. So what does that look like? How do you navigate around that? And this is also the reality. I mean, you're trying to win basketball games, and you're trying to win basketball games deep into the season, deep into the postseason. Terrence Shannon helps you do that. So this portal is so much of a balancing act. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fascinating, honestly, especially now that we're a year into this and we see who does what, how they do it. I mean, it's endlessly fascinating just to watch it all play out.
Well, and I think the other thing we got to think about is Jacob Grandison. We don't know. You're going to ask tonight, Brad Underwood, is Jacob Grandison going to come back? Is that under consideration? Because if you have Jacob Grandison, RJ Melendez, I think you feel pretty good about that three position. Now, Shannon's a far better defender than Jacob Grandison, but do you need to add that? Do you need to maybe focus on somebody who can handle the ball, who can create his own shot? That's not really Terrence Shannon's game all that much, but certainly he's a talent. But that's the other part of this. You can kind of do the, you know, Madden-style fantasy football, basketball of this lineup's the most talented lineup, but it also has to work, and that's the other dynamic of all of this. And the only questions I have about Shannon, because you know he's a really good player when he's on the court and healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he missed some time this year with injury, but yeah, look, these transfer portal rankings aren't guessing and checking, right? Like, there's a lot of sound reasoning behind, and there's a lot of transfer portal rankings out there. We have one, everyone's got one. There's a reason he's up at the top. The dude can play basketball and can help you win games, and that's, again, what Illinois is after. But to your point, it feels like we always have to, like, put the caveat, like, hey, this isn't Madden. Like, this isn't sign, you know, go get everybody who's a 90 overall and figure it out from there. Like, there's real life here and how you kind of work all this together. And Terrence Shannon's an interesting fit there. But you have to be involved. You have to talk. You have to figure it out because he's a really, really good basketball player.
The guy who I think is, like, the most ideal fit right now is Courtney Ramey. That's just my opinion, but I know Sky Clark's coming in. I know Jaden Epps are coming in, and those guys can play right away as long as Sky is fully healthy, right? But I think those guys can play with a Courtney Ramey, a 6'3 guard who's ridiculously experienced, averaged 10 points over 4 years at Texas. Really good defender. That's one of my biggest concerns about the team next year is their on-ball defense. I think Courtney Ramey is really strong there, and he can make others better. He's an okay shooter. So shooting, you're probably not going to get a bunch from him, but he's a capable shooter. So I think he makes a lot of sense, but I think he makes a lot of sense for a lot of teams. So that one's going to be interesting to watch, Joey. But I think having a veteran ball handler, just in case, what if Jaden Epps isn't completely ready to run a team? What if Sky Clark isn't completely healthy or completely ready to run a team? I think it makes so much sense to add a veteran ball handler, defender, and a guy who can create his own shot like Courtney Ramey.
Yeah, I mean, let's also say the days of Illinois is fighting for people who aren't really getting called from everybody around the country are over. Yeah. I mean, they're going for dudes here. But, yeah, and that's no knock on Sky Clark. That's no knock on Jaden Epps. But we've heard get old, stay old basically since Brad got off the plane and has been here. And that matters. I think it matters a lot at the point guard spot when you have somebody who's got to run all of this and put it all together. And Illinois does a really good job of developing guards, finding guards with a lot of talent. They have those coming in. But, you know, you had Io, and he went through all of that. And Andres Feliz was a big part of that. You'll remember, Jeremy, to help kind of put that all together a little bit. And then Andre Curbelo, I get everything, but we saw the flashes, right? And you just want somebody who can put it all together and make this thing work as seamlessly as possible. And that's probably a veteran right now, you think. I mean, obviously the guys aren't here on campus yet. Sky's not even signed to this point. So it's not like we can ask Brad about that. But I think – that's something you have to consider, because you lost a lot of guard turnover. Things were pretty stable when Trent Frazier was playing point guard this year, and obviously with Io, you want that. You want to build on that, because how many times have you heard March is about guards? Mm-hmm. And you got good ones, but you probably want some of those who have been through the wars a little bit too.
Yeah, and you can sit there as an Atlanta fan and say we're good here, but Brandon Podziemski, are you counting on him for 20 minutes next year? I don't see the staff being comfortable with that. And, Sincere Harris, is he going to be your top backup guard? I don't see that. So I think they're going to definitely go and get somebody that can help, whether it's Courtney Ramey or not. Some other names, Gerard Lucas out of Oregon State. Feels like a really gettable kind of target. At Oregon State, averaged, 12, 13 points the last 2 years, which is a weird whirlwind they went through, making the Elite Eight a year ago and then going 3-28 this year. But he was one of their only real positives. Can score. He's a 6'3", 6'4" guard. Certainly can score. A good three-point shooter. Not as much inside the arc, but doesn't do a lot else. He feels like a taller version of Alphonso Plummer, which, if that's what Illinois ends up with, is still a solid piece to your puzzle. Maybe not a go-to piece like a Courtney Ramey or Terrence Shannon or somebody like Brandon Murray, but Gerard Lucas could make some sense. Antonio Reeves at Illinois State just took a visit to Nebraska. Illinois doesn't seem as involved there, but those two guys seem similar in that you're definitely getting a scorer, which Illinois needs. I mean, they need proven scorers, but can you add somebody like that maybe lower on the list in fans' minds but still could help you?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you don't want to call anybody they're going to get a glue guy, but you have to have somebody who binds this whole thing together. And there are options out there, and I don't think missing on Brandon Murray, it stinks, right? If you're Illinois, you want that guy, but it's not the end. The portal gives all the time, man. There's a lot of guys out there, and I think Illinois has a plan for what they're looking for. This isn't in so much when you're in the portal now is just raw. Last year it felt like raw talent acquisition. We got to replace Adam Miller, so let's go get somebody. And Alphonso Plummer worked out. Now I think this is just you want to tie it all. Not to say they didn't want to tie it all together with Alphonso Plummer, because he came in with a very specific role in mind and for the most part delivered on that role every game. But I think point guard, a veteran point guard, is so important. And that's where I mean, you need somebody who can bind it together, who's done it before.
I just think you need some kind of proven guard.
Sure.
I mean, Brandon Podziemski right now is your most experienced guard, and he played 69 minutes last year. Nice. That is your most experienced guard who's coming back, unless Jacob Grandison comes back and you qualify him as a guard. Another name who just entered, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this name correctly.
Glad you were taking this one.
Hasn't been connected yet to Illinois, but he just entered the portal this morning. Naheem Alainye, or Elaine, something like that, out of Virginia Tech. Averaged 9.5 points a game last year. Good size, good three ball. Looks like a 3-and-D guy, but played at Virginia Tech. So, of course, Chester Frazier has a connection there. So, not sure if he's the guy, but it's kind of an example, Joey, of, might not be in the portal now, the guy you add. There's still 2.5 weeks to get in that portal and be eligible next year, and Illinois will still be scouring that. I don't think they're desperate because of adding a guy like Sky Clark, but Naheem Alainye, if that's how you say his name, he makes sense, or somebody else who enters the portal. I did want to mention with Courtney Ramey, Michigan has had talent coming in, right? But you add a guy like Devontae Jones, and you see how important he is for the team late in the season, or Mike Smith 2 years ago, what he meant. But, those kind of guys might not be the go-to guy in a team, but Illinois just needs somebody, a veteran, I think, to kind of stabilize that backcourt.
Yeah, that's a really good parallel there, Jeremy, because we talked, especially with Mike Smith 2 years ago, it's oh, man. And he wasn't the highest-rated portal guy in the world, but he just – that's what I mean. He just gives exactly what you need, doesn't freak out when there are moments that it would freak out. And that's not to say that incoming freshmen will, but you have to assume that to be a possibility with incoming freshmen, because this is high-level stuff that Illinois is playing. They're not playing for Wednesday and Thursday in the Big Ten tournament anymore. You got to have somebody who's kind of been through – that's a really good parallel. And I'm with you. I think Courtney Ramey makes a ton of sense. I just keep getting talked into this. And, we'll see. He's got a lot of people calling his phone, and it'll be interesting how that one shakes out.
Yeah, so I think that's what you're kind of looking at with the portal. One more name we got to mention, just because we've focused on this guy a lot through the last couple of years, Bryce Hopkins, a former star at Fenwick here in the Chicagoland area in Oak Park. And he's transferred from Kentucky after one season. A lot of Illini fans would say, see, we knew something like that would happen, like going to Kentucky. It's really hard to play. But Bryce Hopkins is an interesting name. I just question the fit, right? He's probably a four at the college level. Maybe has some three ability in him. But when you have Melendez, you have Hawkins, and everything seems to be that they're going to come back here, right? You have those two, and plus you got Ty Rogers coming in. I don't know if Hopkins is the perfect fit. Again, in a fantasy baseball or fantasy basketball league, I'd love to add somebody like Bryce Hopkins to my roster. But on this roster, does he fit? Does it work with what you have on there? And just doesn't scream a great fit or perfect fit, even though if you add him and you force competitions, that's sometimes a good thing, sometimes it's not a great thing.
Yeah, look, I mean, rotations don't really go beyond
eight.
Eight. I mean, say 10.
Every coach that says that, by March, they're not doing it, right?
Yeah, I know. That's like the greatest follow-up we should always have is like come March. Like, well, I thought way back in November was our understanding that there were going to be hockey subs.
But yeah, there are exceptions to that, but most teams usually only go eight deep. And you saw those final four teams usually went six, if that.
Yeah, you really parse it down, which is, again, it's a balancing act here. But I'm with you. I'm Jeremy. I'm all in on Coleman Hawkins, RJ Melendez, and – you know, so again, how do you do that when you know you want to bring in talent, but you know that those guys have talent and you've seen it developing over the, you know, with Coleman the last 2 years and
Ty can play right away. Ty Rogers can play right away.
Oh, I keep thinking, like, what's Fletch going to do with him? Because Fletch, like, remakes people for a living. And I'm like, I don't even know. I mean,
it's quite literally true. He remakes people for a living.
Like, I don't really know how you remake Ty Rogers because he, like, we're sitting in the press box at Memorial Stadium and, if they're like, hey, Ty's going to play tight end and catch touchdowns, they're like, yeah, kind of adds up to me.
Edge rusher,
tight end. It's the Brett Beal on my coach team. You play tight end here. But, yeah, so to your point, where is the fit there? And, again, it's kind of our job to remind, like, it's not always just talent acquisition and all of that. It is, but there are so many more things to play there, but you got to kick the tires because it's your job to put the best possible team you can have out there, and you got to ask around, you got to gauge interest, and that's just part of this thing, and it's a long process. Like, transfer portaling takes a long time in some instances and some not, and obviously with someone like Brandon Murray, you know what you know, and mm-hmm. you put all your cards in, but you got to figure the rest of it out a little bit.
I would say within the month we should know what Illinois basketball's roster should look like, right? I mean, Kofi Coburn has a decision to make on April 24th, whether he's entering the draft or not. And if he enters the draft, he cannot come back to school. That's a rule. You can't enter the draft three times and return to school. Jacob Grandison, we should know by then whether he decides to enter the draft or not, right? So we should know on those two guys within the next couple of weeks. And then, you know, a lot of the guys who need to enter the portal, they have to do it by May 1st if they want to be immediate eligible. Now, those recruitments could last, you know, a little while after that. But within a month or so, we should know this. So it's not going to be quite as long as last year took. So, but the next month could be pretty crazy here, Joey.
It could. And, I mean, I don't know if we'll know exactly what – because you can still get guys out of the portal. May 1's just like the doors close. Like, you can't get in.
Well, you can get in the portal, but you can't sit out of here.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, the door's closed. No one, I don't think you're going to sit there on May 2nd and be like, you know, as a matter of fact, I think
well,
I'm going to –
one Alec Bryant for Illinois football is an exception, but yes, it's the exception.
Yes, good cause. Again, as we sit here in the so, yeah, I think it's not, like, for the sake of fans who I know worry about this, for us, not going into, like, July feels like the greatest gift in the world to deal with. But, yeah, I think in terms of – you'll have a really good idea. And the big pieces that you want to know, Kofi, you'll have that answer. And really, Jake, I mean, there's a reason Brad sang the praises of Jake, and you saw his absence over the last three games of the season. That's breathe a little bit, guys. It's almost over. It's getting close to I shouldn't say almost over.
You kidding me? They're having fun with this, man, especially after adding a five-star. Like, they can gripe about not landing Brandon Murray, but there's Tennessee's griping about that too. These are great problems to have, and Like, I think for a lot of people, this is fun. This is like MLB free agency when I want my White Sox to sign somebody. Don't end up signing that person, but you can dream. Everyone's got hope, man.
A little secret about what I do in my free time is I make Madden franchises with people, and I just tear it down, just to the studs. I get like a trillion first-round draft picks. I sim the first season. And then it's like, all right, what can I do in the offseason? I feel like we're getting closer to that stage with fans. It's like, okay, yeah, the games are cool. That's all fun. But what is the offseason going to look like?
When 2 weeks before the NCAA tournament, fans were on our board talking about next year's starting lineup, I was shaking my head. But it's true. Like, I get it, because you're dreaming of what could be. But don't miss what's happening right in your front of your face, right? Like, that was a pretty special season despite the end of it.
Yeah, and I get this is all fun, and it's stressful at the same time for fans. It's, you know, for the coaches. I mean, I don't know if the coaching staff is going to take a vacation, like, ever. I think Brad tried last year. That didn't happen. I don't even know if you give it a shot this year. But, yeah, it's
– sleep in May.
No.
Doesn't some guy tweet that?
I'm not sure. I don't follow up. But, yeah, man, it's – It's fun. I think just that the peace of mind after May 1st is going to help a lot, because then it's like you don't worry about losing in so much as you just focus on adding. And I think that is the really – like, that's the safety blanket if you're following all of this.
Which is why they put that rule in place, so the coaches might be able
for
to –
for you and I to be able to take some time on May 2nd. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's talk a little bit about football. Football adds, they went portaling as well. They've added Rashawn Wilkins out of Vanderbilt. I got to ask Rashawn. I'm going to talk to him tonight. I think he's only got 1 year of eligibility left. He's graduated from Vanderbilt, but a defensive lineman, Joey, who played 500 snaps for Vanderbilt, was their third highest ranked defensive player according to the PFF grades, from Chicago, graduated from Mount Carmel. And Brett's talked about that a lot, Brett Bielema, that is, about, hey, if guys want to come home and play for us, we are open ears. They've hosted another defensive line transfer as well, Devin Drew. Not sure if they'd add two more defensive linemen after adding T-Rod Edwards. But, man, they are focused on adding, in the transfer portal, depth up front, right? They've added now Zy Chrysler and Isaiah Adams, JUCO kids, but still transfers that are two of the top six offensive linemen on this team. And then you add T-Rod Edwards and Rashawn Wilkins to this group. It tells me they're not very comfortable with what they had coming into the spring on the offensive and defensive lines, but they also addressed that and add some depth with Wilkins.
Yeah, I think you're seeing the offensive line stable out a little bit. I think Alex Pilstrom, I'll get to Wilkins, I think he lessens the burden of, like, oh my god, we have to get a center, because I think, to his credit, man, he stepped into that role in spring ball. Long way to go, and that's not to rule that out, but he helps there. And we knew defensive line didn't have depth. You can go, I mean, go look at the recruiting classes. There's not a lot of guys there, and you have the, we think they're two stars in Keith Randolph and Johnny Newton. Like, you know, like, you thumbs up, you know what you're getting out of those guys. You're probably going to get a step forward out of those guys. That you know that, but we've wondered, Jeremy, since the middle of last season, like, what does nose guard look like moving forward? And we think that's where Rashawn Wilkins will be. We think, I mean, obviously you're going to chat with him later, but that tells me, what are you seeing? And T-Rod addressed that, in some capacity. I think there's some versatility there. But it tells me, what are you seeing out of Calvin Avery? What are you seeing out of Vertus Brown in spring practices? This isn't one of those where they reconvened after spring. It's like, you know what, we probably could. There's a roster crunch, and they did this in the middle of spring. That, to me, is pretty telling as to where they believe. And he's a one-year guy. This isn't, you know, T-Raw adds a little bit more because he has multi-years. One-year guy, I mean, that sound the alarms. Like, that is what you're looking for in understanding what they think they have. And I'm not saying he's going to start, but I think that's a very telling point that they brought him in.
I mean, he looks like a nose guard. When you see what Rashawn Wilkins, he looks like one. But there's some questions even behind Keith and Johnny. And we've seen Keith is out for the spring. Now he's still going through some workouts. So I think they're being really cautious with him. But if you have an injury to Randolph and or Newton, you got some issues. Like, Jamal Woods has been a solid player, but is he exactly what they want at that position? So you add a little bit more depth, and they've tried to be versatile with some of those defensive linemen. So we'll be interesting to see if they add another guy at that position as well. You know, Seb McConnell's coming along, but he's just a redshirt freshman. And this staff, you know, on the line of scrimmage doesn't sound like it's going to count a lot on redshirt freshmen. So I think it tells you, when you add Chrysler, you add Adams, like, these guys want to get better up front. And I told you this, Joey, when we were talking after practice, it's like, those are two positions you have to be good at and deep at in the Big Ten, because you can't cover that up. Maybe you can cover up not having a receiver or three good receivers. We've seen Wisconsin, Iowa do that for years. But covering up offensive and defensive line, you can't do it. You have to be good there, and you have to be able to account for injuries. And they've seemingly prioritized that in the transfer portal more than, say, a wide receiver, where we think they need help. Right, they are not very deep there, but it seems like they've prioritized the O-line, D-line more than that.
For now, there's still –
yeah, they can still add.
There's still a couple weeks here, and spring balls are wrapping up. I think the portal – there's going to be a wave still in the portal, I'm sure. I mean, it would make sense that Illinois is going to be affected by that. That's just how this thing works a little bit. But
yeah, and they could still add a center. Like, they're, yes, they're still looking at that despite Pilstrom, you know, stepping up this spring. He's certainly made them feel better. But they could still look at one, and they offered Dylan Davis out of Furman, who could potentially play in the interior.
Yeah, and I think you also have to look at – we know what the scholar – there's not a lot of spots on the initials left. I think, you know, we projected two, I think, two or three. So you're going to get into blue shirts. They've already got two, which means you're cutting into the next class. So anybody they're taking isn't just, oh, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, we could. This is like, all right, we don't have a lot of spots. This has to count. And I think that's what you learn, is when you see who they're going out and offering, you see what this is. This isn't, yeah, we could do this, we think this could help. It's, okay, we need somebody to come in here and be an impact here sooner rather than later. And that's what you've seen on the defensive line. We've seen some cornerback offers go out there. I'm with you, Jeremy. I think wide receiver is a place there. You've seen that on offensive line. I just think that what you're seeing now with some of these offers, who they're bringing in, shows a little bit of the urgency just mm-hmm. because of the space and the roster crunch a little bit.
All right, so we've been able to kind of talk more about spring ball with the Illini staff more than actually see. We see some position drills. Like today, we got to see the offensive guys do defensive drills in case there was a turnover, so they were tackling, stuff like that. The defenders to learn how to block. So they don't show us a lot, Joey, but we are going to see more. You're going to see more on Saturday with the practice. They're going to open for about an hour, so maybe we'll learn more there. But you're starting to figure out who's going to be a factor where. And quarterback, it's going to be Tommy DeVito and Arthur Sikowski, right? And Ryan Johnson is the number three. We know Chase Brown and Josh McCray are going to be the top running backs, and maybe Chase Hayden can go in there, and then maybe Aiden Loffrey, a true freshman, can be an impact player. Wide receiver, they're really thin. Casey Washington, Isaiah Williams have been nicked up, so they've been limited, though they're still going through workouts. So guys like Pat Bryant, we're hearing more about. Sean Miller, a true freshman, early enrollee. Those are potential guys. And then on the offensive line, I think we know what the top six are. Alex Palcheski still playing at tackle. He's moving better there, Bart Miller said. Isaiah Adams is further along than Zy Chrisler, but those two guys are competing for playing time. Jordan Slaughter, healthy, looks pretty good, and is continuing to build off of a strong offseason after the injury he had last year. And then guy like Alex Postrom stepping up at center, and then Julian Pearl working his way back from his final basketball injury he may ever have while he's a college student, because you break your hand, Brett Bielema and Bart Miller are not going to be too happy about it. But I think we're starting to realize who the impact players are, and that's kind of a rundown of the offense. What do you think offensively?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. The six, we'll see. Like, it's how does it shake out? And I know we'll get to this defensively, but Palcheski helps a lot, and Isaiah Adams help a lot in their ability to play guard and play tackle. That just – it helps with the puzzle pieces. I just don't think there was as much versatility on the line last year as there is this year.
Too small in the interior.
Now, you traded talent and experience, experience definitely, in the case of Lowe and Kramer and really even Bedovinak and Gerasotti and we think the world of Bedarian Lowe and Doug Kramer, so the talent there, but the versatility I think is something we're going to see moving forward with this coaching staff, and I think that helps so much as they – shuffle this out. And yeah, I think you look at guys like Sean Miller as a wide receiver and Pat Bryan, and I still think this, you got to identify the portal here moving forward, but those are guys that I think you're going to see, because not a lot, a lot going on out there. And Brian Hightower, we saw him running and catching things today. Well, so I don't mean to dumb it down to that point, but we haven't seen much else, and I'm interested to see what he does in the spring game. But I think quarterback, Jeremy, we've covered at length. It's a two-person race, I think, right now, and one of the guys isn't throwing. So,
right.
I mean, or isn't throwing with team, I should say.
That would be Sikowski.
Running back, don't worry about it. You're fine.
Yeah, here's my thing. I think the running game, I'm not worried about it. I think the running game is going to be really good. I think Chase Brown, as an NFL running back, he's going to be one of the best running backs in the Big Ten again. Josh McCray should only be better. Chase Hayden,
he's
Reggie.
Huge, by the way, right? Josh McCray, like, he was big last year, and you see him this year, it's like, what?
Yeah, and a good huge, not a bad huge.
Yes.
And then you just have so much depth there. Now Aiden Loffrey can kind of go into that Jakari Norwood role, right? That kind of a change of pace back that you can line up everywhere. So I feel good about that, and I feel like you're going to be able to run block. You're still a big physical group. Now, I think the offensive line could have some issues early on. They might have to figure out, all right, is this guy best here? Is Chrisler and Adams, are they really ready? But I think you'll be fine in the run game. I'm still really concerned about the passing game. Do you have enough talent there? Like, what is Tommy DeVito? How good is he? The wide receivers, there's some talent issues there. And then Daniel Barker, you lost. Listen, Luke Ford and Tip Ryman, really good blockers. I think they can be good pass catchers, but Daniel Barker was better than them. And I think Daniel Barker will be better than them this year now at Michigan State as a receiver. So that's where Barry Lunney comes in. And I think Barry Lunney is going to put these guys in better positions to succeed. Now, how much can he get out of them? I don't think you're going to see many seven-step drops. I think you're going to see a lot of quick hitters. I think you're going to see Isaiah Williams get a lot of catches in the screen game. I think you're just going to see a lot more of that kind of play design, and I think that should help them. I think you're going to see some quarterback run, some pitches, things like that. But how much does he have to work with is my main question. How much can they – he said it easily. How much can we throw and catch? Like, as simple as it gets, Illinois has not been good at throwing and catching for a really long time.
No, and it's going to be a problem until it isn't. And that starts with the quarterback and getting somebody who's a long-term quarterback in here. That's not Tommy DeVito. I mean, it can't be. He's got 1 year. Tight end position, you look at an Owen Anderson. He is an older freshman. He went to the prep school, the Hunt school. So he's got a little Barker to him in terms of his ability to stretch the field and catch and make plays like that. But quick hitters is what we wanted to see for Isaiah. I don't know what the over-under is going to be on catches for Isaiah Williams. Probably take the over. I don't even know what it's going to be.
If I set it at 68.5.
Oh, what do you have last year?
40-something? 30-something?
Take it, because I think they're going to – there's an area in those screen games and those close to the line of scrimmage where you let a guy who can make everybody miss go out there and make people miss. Like, whatever it's going to be, take it with him. I think.
You know how we talked about 8 to 10 touches? I think he's actually going to get that this year. Like, he should have gotten that last year. I think he will get that this year.
What a world. Who would have thunk it?
Rocket science.
With Aiden Loffrey, Jeremy, I've actually made this point with you. Go back in 2018, before Reggie Corbin ran for a million yards, they used him in a lot of different – remember how they used him in fall camp was, you know, you jet sweeps and you line him up in the slot and you move him around because he did make people miss and he did have speed. That's a way that I could see them incorporating Aiden Loffrey into a room that is loaded with really good running backs. And you're not going to make him the bell cow because you have two of them.
Couple touches a game. Yeah,
just – try to hit a couple home runs with it. In the same way we talk about Williams, get some screen. Get the dude in space. He can move. And he's good enough size, too.
It's kind of like Deuce Spann. He's kind of this weapon. Should have used him a little bit more, too. Get him the ball in space. Throw it him a couple times. All right, defense. We talked about the defensive line. Feel great about Newton and Randolph, despite Randolph being out with an injury right now. That nose guard position is a concern. But let's go to the outside linebacker room, where you lose two hugely productive players last year in Isaiah Gay and Owen Carney, but dare I say they're going to be more talented and deeper at that position. It's very inexperienced, though, right? They feel great about Seth Coleman. They think Seth Coleman, who showed as much flashes of any outside linebacker in small samples.
He started over Isaiah Gay.
Right. Yeah. He had some really big plays that was like, whoa, that guy can be next-level talent. So he is ready to take that next step, it sounds like. And then at the other position, sounds like it's going to be Alec Bryant or Ezekiel Holmes in the mix. Ezekiel Holmes, the guy who's been here, has been in the system for a year. Alec Bryant has too. He's been in the system since the fall but hasn't been on the field. Ezekiel Holmes has played a little bit, but Alec Bryant, certainly the talent, right? Four-star, former Virginia Tech player. But they feel good about how strong those guys are and can be really good against the run but also add some athleticism as an edge rusher.
Yeah, I want to push back on the more talented. Not because I don't think it's a possibility. I need to see it. I need to see that manifest on the field.
Raw talent compared to production, right? Like right. Owen Carney was very productive. Isaiah Gay had a stretch towards the end of the season that was ridiculously productive. But I think, based on talking to Kevin Kane, they think this group's potential is great, but potential is different than production.
Right, and I think depth far and away is improved with these guys. And
what did Owen Carney play? 96% of snaps or something like that last year? They knew it was an issue, but they go, we can't take this guy out of the field.
Well, yeah, what do you do? I mean, so now you have another year of DJ Johnson in the system. We talked to Jared Beatty today. He looks really good. Now, sounds like he's limited. I don't expect to see much on the field from him in spring ball, which you don't like to see. I don't really worry about that with any of the veterans. You know, if Luke Ford's missing time, Palcho, man, they've done this. You want to see the freshmen get out there a little. That's kind of why they're here.
They said knee injury with him, and he's not having surgery or anything like that. So, like, it seems like it's a short-term thing, but it's held him out for some meaningful reps.
Yeah, the only thing with injuries you would look for in the spring is tears, breaks. Yeah. Otherwise, missing spring practices stinks, especially for a guy who's enrolled early. But I don't get too worked up about the green jerseys right now. There's still a long way to go here. But, yeah, and you still have Gabe Akis to bring in, who is physically freaking impressive for a freshman. And, again, I think that's a position it's hard to be a true freshman. We saw DJ Johnson have some up and down moments. It's just hard. I mean, you're in the trenches in the Big Ten, dude. It's not a fun place to be if you're 18 years old. Go ask Alex Palcheski about it. It takes a lot. So I think, you know, the fact that you don't have to rely on those guys, but you are getting to where you want to be out of this position group. And I think what Kevin's looking for, I know you talked to him, and what Brett's looking for has evolved a little bit, and that's part of building this thing is you want to build it. But the depth there is really, on paper, encouraging. And we all know, Jeremy, by the time October rolls around, depth is never as good as you thought it was in March or April. But they're, I think just having options beyond really three guys, I think is about all you felt comfortable with last year. Having just more feeling about 4, 5, and 6 should help out a little bit that spot.
Well, let's be honest. It's the difference of a lot of good programs and not very good programs in the Big Ten is depth. And it goes right into the conversation about the inside linebackers, right? Because C.J. Hart and Tariq Barnes, if they're healthy, you feel like they could be really good. I mean, Tariq Barnes had one of the more underratedly good years last year, switching positions, the Mike and the Will, and played them both really, really well through all those injuries. So I think he's going to be really good. Maybe a guy we don't talk about enough. But C.J. Hart, we saw the three quarters. He was really, really good against Nebraska. He's been full go, so that's a good sign. But talk with Andy Boo. The guys who are stepping up behind him are Isaac Darkangelo, a former walk-on, was on scholarship last year, got some reps last year, and then two redshirt freshmen, Kenenna Odaluga, who looks the part, and then Dylan Rosiak, who they say is made a lot of plays from Eastlake High School, same as Jake Hansen, best friends with Jake Hansen's younger brother Lane, who was a long snapper at Illinois. So those are some guys to watch, but the concern is health, right? The concern is depth. But you have a lot of young depth. Malachi Hood's in that room. You're going to bring in Antoine Hayden in a year. You feel good about what Andy Boo's building there. It's just there's not a lot of experience behind those top two options.
How dare you forget James Kreutz.
And James Kreutz.
How dare you. But, yeah, it's opposite of last year, right? Last year it was, okay, you've got Jake Hansen, Tariq Barnes, C.J. Hart, Kalon Tolson. You had to rely on every one of those guys last year, and now you're kind of holding on a little bit. And I don't know that that's a position you go for in the portal. I think you try to ride it out unless an option like C.J. Hart hits you in the face and it just makes all the sense in the world, but you don't have the most attractive sell to somebody who wants to come in for playing time right now because you have two really good players starting in those spots. So how does – I think you just got to kind of work with it a little bit here and figure it out, and hopefully it doesn't get down to that point, but you are starting to hear them feel a little more comfortable about those guys that you mentioned, Isaac Darkangelo, Kenan Odaluga. So it'll be interesting with how that plays out, but there's not as much depth there as last year.
Yeah, all right. In the secondary, I talked with Aaron Henry today. They seem excited about the talent that is in that room. Now, they have to replace two really important pieces of that room. Kirby Joseph, who's probably going to be a top 100 pick in the NFL draft, as well as Tony Adams, who had so much experience and had a pretty good year last year. Devin Witherspoon, they're excited about. Aaron Henry said he's as confident as anybody, talks more trash than anybody, and is starting to take a leadership role. There is a lot of buzz about Sidney Brown and how good he's been. Like he had his best year as an Illini last year, even though, as a sophomore, he got all Big Ten because he had some picks. He was great last year in that in-the-box role. They think he can have a really special season. Then you're hearing Taz Nicholson. Seems like he's kind of solidifying himself as that top option, as the second cornerback, after playing and struggling last year. And then Joey comes down to, is Quan Martin going to play nickel, or is Quan Martin going to be free safety? I don't think they're going to tell us that this offseason, even though Aaron told me today Quan's been great at nickel. You could see him play both. But it's probably going to come down to, is Keyonte Curry the best five at that nickel spot, or is Prince Green that best next starter as a free safety? And they mentioned Kendall Smith in that conversation as well.
A lot of the same conversations we had about the offensive line is, I think you know the pieces. You just have to get it all sorted out. And Sidney Brown, we talk about him a lot. Little Tariq Barnes in the sense of, maybe aren't talking about him enough because he was freaking awesome.
I mean, he's not new, right? This is fifth year as a starter.
Yeah, right? Kirby got all the attention last year, rightfully so. He played his butt off, and he was like this – Where have you been? Story. Sidney, I just have flashbacks to that Minnesota game where he was just making life a terrible nightmare for that Minnesota offense. He was
Palomalu. He was the Illinois Palomalu last year.
Yeah, say what you want to say. I know Illinois fans struggle with P.J. Fleck. When that dude's standing up somewhere and saying this is Troy Palomalu and not sure that he's got the best hair in Champaign-Urbana, you listen to that because he was awesome.
Because Chase cut his hair off for I don't know what reason.
This is,
come on. I'm sitting here, this guy, and he cuts his hair off. It doesn't make any sense, Joe.
No, well, hey, teach their own, man. There's still some good all hair. Anyway, I think where does Quan Martin play is similar to me as how you look at Palcho. What does Prince Green look like? What does Keyonte Curry look like? Which one of those two, in my mind, we could be not right on this, but I think we're pretty close. Which one of those two steps up and allows Quan to play in that other spot between free safety and nickel, where he was really, really good at nickel, man. He was awesome. So, but having a guy like Quan, you can breathe a little easier. And I know he wasn't the superstar of the defense last year. He wasn't all Big Ten this or that. But that versatility, you can play in a defense that loves versatility mm-hmm. and can help kind of usher in some of those younger guys because of his ability to play elsewhere. Dude, you cannot overlook that. That is so important as you kind of I don't want to say reset because you did lose a lot of guys, but you bring some back. But as you start to turn the page into this next era of, God willing, a better era of Illinois football defense.
Yeah, and Ryan Walters seems excited about his group as well, and they have something really positive to build on, which I think you're counting on. Because offense, I don't know if you're counting on your offense to be a top-half Big Ten offense. You just need them to be better. 25-plus points a game would be a huge improvement for this team. All right, for Joey Wagner, I think that wraps it up, right? Special teams, I think Caleb Griffin.
Griffin and Hugh Robertson. Long snapper. Aiden Hall, I think, is the guy for the deep cut long snapper interest. I think he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, he was going to get pushed by Josh Leff coming in, kid a decade younger than him. And then Will McManus is competing right now for that kicker job, which is good. I think Caleb Griffin to be pushed, but it feels like Caleb Griffin's time. I think that wraps up for special teams. We haven't seen him kick yet.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to return either for even the little bit of returning that still exists in college football. I don't know who's going to stand back there and wave their arm and fair catch it. I have no idea.
Punt return is more important than kick return because punt return, you just got to catch the dang ball.
Hot take. Who?
Donnie Navarro was really good at just catching the ball, right? So that's kind of a loss there. Northwestern's huge gain. A punt return and catch the ball.
Caleb Griffin.
Okay, I mean, Caleb can do it. I just think Brett wants an actual threat back there. Yeah. I mean, Caleb's a hell of a better athlete than I am. Not saying anything, but.
If your kicker's returning punts, let's.
Isaiah? I mean, do you want to put Isaiah back there and risk injury?
Aiden.
It's a tough spot for a freshman.
Aiden. Right. I like him probably as a kick returner more than a punt returner.
Sean Miller? Sean Miller would be that? I just want somebody to catch the ball. Because how many times do you actually return punts, given the rule that you can run
you
down?
You know who is really good at it? And it sucks at his career. And
I love that we're going this deep.
I know. I don't even know. I'm sitting here like, I got so much to do. But Jordan Holmes was awesome as a punt returner. It sucks at his –
well, his one game wasn't great.
But. Yeah, but it sucks that – I mean, I think he tore his ACL, if I'm not mistaken. He ended up at Eastern. But, dude, he was really a nice punt returner. I don't know, man. It's – let's see who they trot out there to wave to the fans and fair catch it in a week and a half.
We can worry about that in August. All right, for Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a rating, a review wherever you get your podcast. Give us a follow as well. Check us out on YouTube. Follow us, like us, subscribe to us there as well. And don't forget, we'll have plenty of basketball, football content coming up for you at the VIP side of things. So only $1 for your first month of VIP membership. Give us a try there as well. Until next time, everybody take care of each other. Have a great day, and we will chat to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.